Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace that gives us life and that richly blesses us as we live life. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for Timothy and the wonderful lessons he shared this morning. And Father, again, we turn our hearts and our minds over to you, and we ask that you would take your words and imprint them in our minds and hearts and be changed by them. And we ask this through Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday I said that I was toying with the idea of going through the Old Testament and picking the Bible stories out, the memorable stories. I don't know how long I'll do that, but I would like to talk about Noah. So we'll be in Genesis chapter 6. And again, I think it's really good for me to do quite a bit of reading because this is where Noah's Ark comes from. This is where the story of Noah's Ark comes from. So it's good to see what the Bible has to say about it. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." In Genesis 6, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." Remember, the word man is humanity. Earlier in Genesis, it says that God created man, male and female created he them. So when the King James Bible uses the word man, it's everybody, all of humanity. I think I need to read verse 7. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and just being fair or righteous, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." I think some people have said tar. "And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean, by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God commanded Noah. And it came to pass that after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, and the 600th year of Noah's life in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. In verse 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the earth, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth in 150 days. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. A synonym for assuaged is subsided, and the waters are receding. In verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. I suppose let up would be a better way of describing assuaged. In verse 3, the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, and the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, that's Noah's age, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl, of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that it may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with them, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I think I'll stop reading there. God said that he would make a covenant with Noah, and that covenant gets put into words in Genesis 9, verse 11. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood, neither shall there anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And that's where the rainbow comes into the story of Noah and the ark. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all the earth. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. All right, we'll back up, and maybe I'll point out a couple things. There's a lot of things I don't know, but we can look at the things that are kind of obvious. The setting of the story is shortly after Adam and Eve. You have Adam and Eve, and then it talks about Cain and Abel, where Cain gets jealous of Abel and he kills his brother. And then very shortly thereafter, the book of Genesis moves into the story of Noah. And you can see all the people that are born from Adam to Noah, to see the generations and to see exactly how many years that was. Noah is 600 years old when he begins. He's 600 years old when he begins. When God created the earth, people lived a lot longer than they do now. In Genesis 6, verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God is sorry that he created humanity. And it's interesting because in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, God saw that it was good. God saw that it was very good. God created this world as a beautiful place. God created this world as a perfect place. He told Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve did that, and instantly humanity became knowledgeable of sin. And it's interesting that Adam and Eve, against God's wishes and against God's will, ate that fruit. And that's a lot of what sin is. It's to live a life separate from God, to live a life that doesn't care about God's word or God's desires. Adam and Eve had children. Cain had children. And the earth is getting populated with all of these people. And God is looking at all of these people, and he's sorry. The King James Bible says it repented him that he made man. In Genesis 6, verse 6, it repented the Lord that he hath made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Initially, God said it is very good, especially when God created Eve for Adam. This is very good, and now he's sorry that he made the world. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's exactly the same way it is today. Humanity is exactly the same way today. Again, in Romans, it tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And that's true. Back in Noah's day, humanity was sinful. Wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I like that. The Bible tells us that sin is something that happens in our minds. Sin is something that happens in our imaginations. Sin is something that happens in our hearts. The Bible makes a distinction between our brain and our heart because our heart is where we have all the desires. He says our brains are evil and our desires are evil. And it's God was sorry for how humanity was living. If you look in Genesis 6, verse 13, it says, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. I can't help but notice in the book of Genesis that God is watching how people are treating each other. The first time I ever noticed that was reading the story about Sodom and Gomorrah, when the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is rising to God. God is watching how people are treating each other. And you and I, when we see people mistreating each other, it's terrible. It's grievous. But imagine God in heaven looking at 8 billion people and seeing every single time one person mistreats another person. God sees that all day long, every day. And here he's also seeing that same thing. He says the whole earth is filled with violence. Not only is their mind evil, not only are their desires evil, but they're also mistreating each other in a terrible way. And deep down in my own mind, that means God is still watching today. And as humanity gets more and more depraved and more violent toward each other, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the world again. God is not going to let this world get so bad. There's going to be a limit. There is going to be a limit to the way people mistreat each other. God is going to cut that time short. God is going to destroy humanity because they're so evil. God is going to destroy humanity because of the violence. And he also decides to destroy all the animals. Now, he's very clear. It's the animals that are breathing, right? He's going to destroy all the animals that are breathing. I think that eliminates all the fish and clams and everything else. But he's definitely going to destroy every animal that is breathing. And then he comes to Noah. Now, why does he come to Noah? It's because Noah is still faithful to God. In Genesis 6, verse 9, it says, Noah was a just man. That means he was righteous. That means Noah was not mistreating the people around him. He was being fair. That's what justice. He was being fair and perfect in his generations. And perfect in the King James Bible is not sinless perfection. Again, Noah was a human just like you and I are. He was not sinless, but it means that he was very faithfully serving God with all of his might. He was doing the best he could to serve God. Noah walked with God. He cared about what God wanted for his life, and he lived a righteous life because of it. Noah has three sons, and we can only assume that those three sons also had some concern about God and God's will for humanity, because they could have easily chosen not to get on that boat. Shem, Ham, and Japheth could have easily chosen not to be part of this project. So God chose Noah, he chose Noah's wife and Noah's three sons and their wives, and he gives them an assignment. He says, make an ark. Now if you go look up ark in Strong's Concordance, it's a box. And I don't know how boat-like this ark was. It may not have been much of a boat, but more of a box. I don't know that it matters much. He just says, make an ark. And he tells them that the ark needs to be divided into rooms, that it needs to be waterproofed inside and out. He gives them the dimensions of it. The dimensions, 300 cubits. Now, in our day and age, a cubit is 18 inches. The cubit was derived from the distance from the elbow to the end of your middle finger. That's where the cubit comes from. And we say 18 inches. So if we use modern measurements, the length of the ark should be about 450 feet. The width of the ark should be about 75 feet. And the height of the ark should be about 45 feet. Now, I don't know if I should talk about this, but there's creation scientists that claim that they are often digging up skeletons that are 12 feet tall. The evolutionary scientists don't want to talk about 12 feet tall humans because we're evolving. And to find a human that's ancient, that's taller than 6 feet, makes us look bad. They don't want to talk about that. That doesn't fit into the evolutionary scheme. But there is room here to say if Noah was 12 feet tall and Ham, Shem, and Japheth were 12 feet tall, that could make for a 36-inch cubit. Maybe. Either way, it was a boat, and it was a boat big enough to do the job that God wanted to get done. You've got the window here in the ark in verse 16, and a flood. Now, what's interesting is when God created the world, he says that the garden was watered with mist, and that the garden was watered with rivers. There is a possibility here that it never actually rained a nice, good, solid thunderstorm. There's that possibility. God tells Noah to build an ark, and he says it's going to flood. He tells Noah that he needs to put all the different kinds of food that are eaten in that ark, and to put two of each kind of animal, a male and female, to reproduce the earth after the ark lands. In Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Noah is a godly man. It would only follow that God would listen, that Noah would listen to what God has to say and do that. The world's about to get destroyed. Your only hope of being saved from the destruction is that you build this boat and that you're on the boat when the flood comes. That's your only hope of making it through this destruction. In chapter 7, you see more details of God telling Noah and his family to get on the boat. You see more details of those animals that they're supposed to put on the boat. And you see that the rain is starting to come. It's starting to get wet. As a little child, I had questions. You know, how do all those animals fit on a boat? Well, one, it's a big boat. Number two, you don't have to take fully mature animals on a boat. You can take baby animals on a boat. Another question I had as a child is, how did those animals get on the boat? I grew up on a dairy farm where getting a cow into her stanchion was difficult. How do you get two of every kind of animal on the earth on a boat? And I like the words of the King James Bible. In Genesis 6, verse 20, it says, two of every sort shall come unto thee. The animals are going to come to Noah. The animals are going to come to Noah. And you'll see that word again later. Genesis chapter 7, verse 9. They went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God commanded Noah. They went in there. In verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the same day. So Noah had 120 years to build this boat. He's 600 years old when the flood comes. The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. We think of floods as a lot of rain. And a lot of rain going into the rivers makes the rivers get full of water. And then as those rivers flow to their emptying, there's floods in those areas. As a little child, I would ask my mother, I said, God, or Mom, God promised not to flood the flood. Why are there floods in Louisiana? Or why are there floods here, there, and the other? And my mother would explain to me, that's because God promised not to flood the whole world at once. We still have floods today, but we don't have a flood that destroys the earth all at once. We think of floods as rain. In Genesis 7, verse 11, it says, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. If you had never seen a thunderstorm before, and it starts raining, that would be pretty scary. Now, if you've never seen rain and it starts raining, and the fountains of the deep were breaking up, that would be even more scary. Water was coming out of the ground, and it sounds like it was coming out in torrents, in bucket loads, and the earth was quickly covering in water. It says it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. In the self same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, into the ark, they and every beast after his kind. In verse 15, they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of all life. And in Genesis 7, verse 16, and they went, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I heard a preacher once just pull that phrase right out. Again, as a youngster, thinking about the flood and thinking about all those thousands of people or millions of people or however many people were on the planet at the time. And it's starting to rain and you're starting to have the fountains of the deep break up. And these people are starting to get scared. Some of them are starting to swim. And in my own mind, I would think, why doesn't Noah open that door and let a couple more people on board? And the Bible storybooks do some amazing illustrations. Some of them are just goofy, and some of them are really realistic. I remember one painting of the door of the ark and people swimming in the water, pounding on the ark. Why doesn't Noah let some more people in the boat? Wouldn't that be the nice thing to do? In Genesis 7, verse 16, it says, the Lord shut him in. For some reason, I shouldn't say for some reason, God shut that door. Noah couldn't have opened that door if he wanted to. He couldn't have let people on that boat if he wanted to. God shut that door. And it's raining 40 days, 40 nights. You have the fountains of the deep breaking up. And if you go into creation science, they'll throw in some volcanoes and earthquakes and all kinds of stuff. Very, very scary. The waters prevailed upon the earth. In verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. The way I've heard that explained is that the highest mountain on the planet at the time had, what would it be, 22 and a half feet of water above and beyond the top of it. That's room to float a boat. The earth was so flooded that that ark could go anywhere it wanted without dragging on the bottom. The earth is destroyed. It's amazing when you read these three chapters or so. It says, I'm going to destroy every breathing thing. And then it says, God destroyed every breathing thing. It's like the author wants to assure us that every breathing thing died. I think the author wants to make it clear that the people on the ark survived and the people that were not on the ark did not survive, and it was very cut and dried. There was no in-between people. Genesis chapter 8. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The water subsided. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. God stopped pumping water into the planet. The waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And suddenly that boat, and Noah's been sailing for months. Noah has been floating for months, and suddenly that boat grinds to a halt. But when Noah looks out the window, he still sees water. It's shallow enough that the boat stops floating, but it's not shallow enough to get out, is it? The waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And it says the tops of the mountains were seen. Now they can actually see the tops of the mountains. And then they have to wait longer. And finally Noah opens the window. He sends out a raven. And it sounds to me like the raven is coming and going at its wishes. And eventually he picks a dove. And the dove is a little more picky. And he sends the dove out, and she flies around, and she doesn't find any spot that she's comfortable landing. So she flies back to the ark. Again, Noah sends the dove out a few days later, and the dove comes back with an olive leaf. So now you have vegetation growing again. But they still couldn't get out of the boat. It's interesting, the detail here. The waters were upon the face of the whole earth. In Genesis 8, verse 11, Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth, and he stayed in the boat. In verse 13, Noah removed the covering of the ark, whether he poked a hole in the hull or took the roof out or what. But Noah looks out, and he sees that the ground looks dry. But it sounds to me like it looked dry and it wasn't dry because he still stays in the boat, right? In verse 14, the second month, on the 7th day and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried, and God says, you can get out. Do you know that Noah and his family were in that boat for 53 weeks or 371 days? They were in that boat for a year. With all those animals, they had plenty of work to do. And then they get off the boat. I find interesting here that God says there will be fear Genesis 9:2, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. You know, we go from the animals coming to Noah and getting on the boat to the animals being afraid of mankind, and that's where we find them today. And then you have the rainbow, where God says, when I see that rainbow, it will remind me of the promise that I make to all humanity, that I will not destroy the world again with water. Now, how many of you have read through the book of Revelation? The world is going to get destroyed, but it's not going to be destroyed by water. It also is going to get destroyed in installments. You've got a third of the vegetation, or a third of the drinking water, or this and that and the other. That's the book of Revelation, where God is slowly destroying the planet. And that's not because he likes pain, but that's because he wants to give every single person another chance to repent and to believe in God. God will destroy the world again. But because it's not going to be water, it's not the ark that saves us, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where this physical story translates into a spiritual truth. The New Testament uses Noah's ark as a picture of salvation. I'll just go to a couple occurrences of this. So Hebrews 11 mentions Noah. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I love that verse because it's saying, not only do you need to seek God, but you need to seek God as a good God, as a God that's rewarding you, as a God that loves you, and as a God that cares about you. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It was Noah's faith in God that made him accept the building project and build it and to get on it and to stay on it. Here it says that Noah's building of the ark was a condemnation to the world around him. By Noah building an ark, he was condemning the world around him. That goes hand in glove with 2 Peter 2:5, when it says that Noah is a preacher of righteousness. And the context is God punishing angels, but it says in 2 Peter 2:5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was preaching righteousness. Noah was cutting down trees, he was sawing lumber, he was building an ark, and he was preaching righteousness. And he had to. For you to build a boat that big on dry land, and for people to walk by and say, Noah, what are you doing? And Noah's going to say, the world is going to flood. I'm going to put my family and myself in this boat, and we're going to make it through the flood, but the rest of the world is going to be destroyed. And all of his neighbors could have easily laughed at him and said, Noah, what are you talking about? It's not going to flood. You don't need a boat that big. Are you crazy? So Noah had dozens of opportunities every day to tell the people around him, the world is about to be destroyed. And unless you're in this boat, you're not going to make it. God, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. In 1 Peter, this would be more specifically referring to salvation. 1 Peter 3:20. which sometime were disobedient. Again, there's a context. I'll let you get that later. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, God looked down and he said, humanity is evil. Their imaginations are evil. Their hearts are evil. There's violence. But I'm going to give them 120 years. I'm going to give Noah 120 years to prepare the ark. And I'm going to give Noah 120 years to preach to these people in the hopes that these people will repent and turn to God. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's where the New Testament tells us that to be born again is the same as Noah building that ark. Today we are saved by repenting of our sins and putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a symbolic ark, or that's a spiritual ark, because anybody who puts their faith in Jesus Christ and repents will make it through the destruction of the world. Anybody that repents and believes Christ is going to have an everlasting life. And of course, to repent, to believe, to be baptized is what saves us. And that's where salvation and Noah's ark get linked together. To just think about this, there are several parallels. There are several parallels to seeing Noah preaching for 120 years, a man like Timothy taught this morning that does not give up in hard times. I don't think he built boats for the first 600 years of his life. He might have, but probably not. And now he has to switch careers. And now he has to build the boat. And now he has to be ridiculed by the people around him. The people that don't even think he's telling the truth. The people that think he's mentally ill. And they're all laughing at him and mocking him. It's interesting how Jesus Christ fills in the details of the spirit of the age. It's in Matthew and Luke. We'll just take a look at Matthew 24, verse 36. Jesus is teaching about the return of Christ. And so he says, of that day, when Jesus Christ returns, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah believed the flood was coming, and he started building the ark. And it's not that Noah didn't do other things, but if Noah ate, he ate and he went back to building the ark. If he drank, he drank and he went back to building the ark. If he went to a banquet, he went to the banquet and he came back to building the ark because he knew he was going to need that ark to be saved when the world got destroyed. The other people around him, they didn't believe they needed an ark and they lived a lot more carelessly. They ate and drank just for the sake of eating and drinking. They partied because they didn't believe the world was coming to an end. And they didn't believe that they needed to prepare ahead of time. And so when it started raining, they got scared because they had no way of making it through the flood. And you know, there could have been a couple people that hopped into a rowboat here and there. There could have been a couple of people that hopped into a tugboat here and there. But food for a year, and a boat that's seaworthy when the fountains of the deep are breaking up and it's raining buckets. God made sure that every one of those little boats sank because God did not choose to save people in their own boat. He chose to save them in Noah's ark. That's also a good illustration of salvation today. There's a lot of people today that come up with their own method of how God is going to save them. Well, I'm a good person. I don't murder. I don't steal. I'm faithful to my spouse. God should be able to save me. That's like you coming up with your own little rowboat to make it through the flood. You come up with your own work salvation about how you're going to make it through Judgment Day, how you're going to stand before God on Judgment Day, and you're going to impress God with how not bad of a person you are, right? And God says, no. There are no other options for getting into heaven than through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like God in the days of flood, in the flood said, no, there's no other boat that's going to make it through this thing. You're either on Noah's Ark or you're not. And that's the same today. You're either saved by the blood of Jesus Christ or you're not going to heaven. There are no in-between options. Again, the carelessness of the people around us, we can still see that today. When it's hard to convince the people around you that they need to be born again. When it's hard to convince the people around you that there really is a hell and that if they die, they really are going there. And that if they don't want to be in hell, they really do need to submit to Jesus Christ. We've got the same spirit of let's party, let's not pay attention to God. Let's not take death seriously. Let's not take eternity seriously. So that attitude also parallels also. It's also interesting that God shuts the door on the ark. It's not Noah's job to destroy the sinners around him. In fact, it was Noah's job to plead with the sinners around him, just like it's your job and it's my job to plead with the people around us. We are not here to judge the people around us or to condemn them. We are here to bring them Christ and to get them saved. But when God shuts that door, he is judging the whole world. There's coming a day when people will no longer have a chance to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. One of my favorite stories, and it looks like I'm out of time. In my own life, I had doubts whether I was born again because I would have days when I would think things that were sinful or do things that were sinful. And then I felt like, oh, God could never accept me. But there came a day when I realized that I was saved because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I was saved because I knew I was a sinner and I knew I didn't have other ways of saving myself and that I needed Jesus Christ. There's a real blessing in putting your faith in Christ and knowing that you're saved and you're saved by faith and faith alone. No one is wife in his sons and their wives spent a year on that boat. And do you think Noah had a good day every day on that boat? There were probably moments where Noah got angry and maybe got impatient with his wife or impatient with his sons. There were probably days where there were messes on the ark. You know, God's standard is perfection, right? God demands perfection. So does that mean on the day when Noah got angry that the ark sank? Does that mean on the day that Noah got impatient with his wife or his sons that the boat sank? There's Christians out there, I was one of them, that we think that we have to be perfect to get to heaven every day, all day long. Now, we are holy people because Jesus Christ deserves us to be holy people. But if we make a mistake, we don't get unsaved. Just like when Noah had a bad day on the ark, doesn't mean he was unsaved. He was still on the ark. It was the ark that was saving Noah. It was the fact that Noah was putting his faith in that boat that saved him, not that he was a perfect person. It was the fact that Noah put his faith in that boat, not that his hair was always perfect, not that he was never grumpy, not that he never sinned. It was that he put his faith in that boat. And it's the same with you and I. We are born again, not because we never get impatient with our spouses, not because we never do an oopsies, not because we never mess up, but because we know we are weak and we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, and we know it's Christ that's taking us to heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for another story of your love and of your salvation. Father, do help us to give you our minds and our hearts and our lives. Help us to live a life that is looking toward the book of Revelation, looking toward the new heaven and the new earth. Father, that we would live holy and righteous lives and that we would preach to other people. Bless our day today and bless the meetings tonight. And we ask this again through Christ. Amen. Let's dismiss.